Barack Obama also had this to say about climate change this week.
Now's the time to confront this challenge once and for all. Delay is no longer an option. Denial is no longer an acceptable response.
It's not clear whether the president-elect was talking about denial by a few powerful individuals or a larger group of people. A poll taken by the Pew Organization earlier this year showed that 1 in 5 Americans didn't believe that the Earth is warming, and a majority of Americans believed the rise in global temperatures had nothing to do with human activity. So on the face of it, some might say there is group denial in this country over global warming and our role in it. Well, as it turns out, group denial is pretty common across the globe. The world's Jason Margolis has more.
At a recent conference on climate change in New York City, Christopher Monckton, a member of the British House of Lords, gave the opening address.
Current plans to curtail the emission of carbon dioxide are a useless and dangerous misallocation of intellectual capital and resources that could and should be more productively dedicated to addressing the real and pressing needs of humanity and to solve.
This wasn't your typical climate conference. The people here say global warming is a hoax. Scientists still widely debate what the impacts of global warming will be, but they don't debate that the planet is warming. That's unequivocal. And scientists say it's almost certainly being driven by human activity. More than 2,500 scientific experts from 130 countries agreed to this conclusion in a United Nations report last year. The people at the conference in New York are unimpressed with this body of work. Again, Christopher Monckton.
And I'm sufficiently satisfied from having had quite a close look at its documents that they do not form any basis whatsoever for the formation of any policy in any direction on this subject. They are valueless.
And your expertise
is that I was an advisor to Margaret Thatcher on scientific questions, including this one, from 1982 to 1986, when I set up my consultancy business specializing in scientific frauds, but I have no paper qualifications in science whatsoever.
Monckton calls people like himself climate change skeptics, but many say this is no longer healthy skepticism. This is denial. When people are faced with a fact that's too uncomfortable to accept, they deny it, despite what may be overwhelming evidence. Denial comes in different forms, says Peter Sandman, an international risk consultant. He helps governments and businesses understand risk and denial. First, Sandman says there's strategic denial.
That's the least interesting, but it's important intellectually to understand that sometimes people know perfectly well that X is true, and they deny it anyway because it's in their interest to pretend it's not true.
The second type of denial is when people just can't believe something could be true.
Something that's so frightening you can't bear it.
For instance, societies fail to prepare adequately for pandemics. On an individual level, many women fail to give themselves exams for breast cancer, even though they know they should.
They're not failing to check for lumps because they're insufficiently worried about breast cancer. They're failing to check for lumps because they're excessively worried about breast cancer.
Sandman says there's a third type of denial where reality threatens our worldview.
This is something that if it were true, you're wrong about the world. And you'll have to reassess your entire sense of how life is. And people have extremely strong commitments to continuing to see the world the way they see the world.
This happens across the planet.
Every country does the same thing. I mean, everywhere now in the whole world.
Vamik Volkan is an expert on large group psychology at the University of Virginia. He says entire nations regress and blur fantasy with reality. In Srebrenica, Bosnia, around 8,000 Muslims were murdered by Serbs. Mass graves were later uncovered. To this day, many Serbs deny the massacre. In Turkey, much of the nation denies the widespread massacre of Armenians during World War I, despite strong historical evidence. Sometimes denial and avoidance become blurred. We don't deny facts, but we push them away. Vamik Volkan sees this milder form of denial with Americans today, with the way we view Iraq, or rather the way we sometimes choose to ignore Iraq.
We don't talk about the horrors of wars, killing so many Iraqis every day. It just gets rationalized.
Volkan doesn't draw a moral equivalence between a society that ignores the horrors of war versus, say, the facts about global warming. But he does say the same large group psychology is at work. Our group identity is threatened. We are part of the problem, and that's hard for us to accept. Still, science is not war. Science can be tested and verified. So why do so many Americans still deny the existence of global warming? Maybe in part because it's a highly politicized issue, largely pitting Democrats against Republicans. On the Democratic side, Al Gore has become the leading voice for action to reverse global warming. And a lot of Republicans don't always believe Al Gore. Again, Peter Sandman.
Mistrust of the messenger is certainly a major reason why people reject messages. But it's very often a rationale for denial.
We're all guilty of this. Take a moment and think of a politician or pundit you despise. We often have a knee-jerk reaction to dismiss whatever he or she says, even when it's true. Sandman adds that with climate change, many people have been pushed into denial. He says guilt is a bad motivator, and some environmentalists have sometimes been too aggressive.
What they're saying to the public is, your consumptive lifestyle, your insistence on living high on the hog, you greedy American, you're responsible for ruining the world. Therefore, you ought to stop.
Sandman poses this imaginary alternative that might provoke less denial.
You know, the world has improved more in the last 100 years than in the previous 1,000. And then suddenly, very belatedly, just in the last decade, we begin to get a sense that there was an unintended and an unknowable, horrible outcome. That this huge improvement in our quality of life, it now looks like maybe insupportable by the ecosystem. Who knew? Who could have known?
In other words, putting people less on the defensive is more likely to decrease denial. Which brings us to the word itself. Denial is a loaded term, often associated with the denial of atrocities in Nazi Germany. And because of this, Matthew Nisbet, a communications professor at American University, doesn't like using the term.
It sort of violates a third rail of political rhetoric in that it immediately puts or triggers people's interpretations of the Holocaust and the implication of a Holocaust denier.
Nisbet says when you refer to your opponents as deniers, you're associating them with some of the most evil people in history.
The countercharge would be, how dare you call me a denier? When that happens, now the debate goes in the direction exactly where you don't want it to go. It becomes a discussion of the personalities involved in the conflict rather than the substance of the issue, which was your original goal in the first place. So ultimately, it ends up being very distracting.
At the Conference of Self-Labeled Climate Change Skeptics in New York, they agree the term denier is offensive. Yet the speakers themselves continually bring up the term and the idea of the Holocaust.
About 5 years ago, the Times of London referred to me as a climate change denier with all of the Holocaust connotations of that term.
We are deniers, you know, the slick, in a very slick way, have pushed us into a corner to look as if we're like the moral equivalent or the immoral equivalent of the Nazis, Holocaust deniers.
Those were conference speakers Timothy Ball and Roy Innes. By referring to others referring to them as deniers, climate change skeptics are making themselves the victims, says large group psychology expert Bob McVulkin, a very common trait across cultures.
If you're a victim, you're going to put it as a marker and tell the whole world that, my God, I am victimized and I'm going to let everybody know.
And no matter how much evidence is presented, some people just won't accept a different version from what they believe. Perhaps something like this story. I ask Val McVulkin if some people listening to this report will simply think, more lies from the liberal media.
Yeah, they don't invest in it. If some disaster occurred because of global warming, then they will change. Or if a new leader comes and explains to them a different way. If the leader is charismatic, then the whole societal process will change.
Of course, that's what some people are hoping for with the election of Barack Obama. They think this is a time deniers might reassess long-held beliefs. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.